Welcome to the Aussie Villains podcast. Almost a full crew tonight. We're missing out on Spud, but the rest of the boys are here. Yes, it's a one-all draw. Yes, it's an international break, but we're still here. This is the Aussie Villains podcast.
It's a cheesy one to the far post. Good save from Sarr. Manny Cash high up the ditch again. Connecting really well. Jose Sarr standing firm.
Welcome to the Aussie Villains podcast. It's a cast of three tonight and thousands of different personalities between the three of us. We have Tess on the line.
Hello.
Hey, Tess.
Hello.
Oh, I love that hello. How good is that hello?
Oh, man. It's been ages since I've been on the podcast. Yeah, as I was saying offline, it's just sort of like had a lot of things going on with the caravan and family and stuff. So, I was determined to get on tonight, seeing as we've got like a bit of a football break. So, yeah, really excited to be back.
So I just want to put it out there to listeners. Don't feel bad for Tess. He's not living in a caravan. He just has a massive caravan set up. He does have Wi-Fi and everything, but he loves his fishing, loves his camping and his family. And it's amazing when you see your mates having those times. So good on you, Tess, man.
Yeah.
No, it's been awesome. Good to hear you, boys.
Yes, and look, absolutely. And Rhino, just flying along, preparations for another youngling, a young Jedi Master.
Yeah, another little villain will be joining us early Jan, possibly earlier, who knows. But yeah, good to be back on with you boys, and haven't been on with Tess for a while, so obviously looking forward to hearing some updates on the fantasy football.
Yeah, we will get into that. And we will answer your questions. There's been some fantastic questions. We didn't give you much time to put them up. But, guys, we played Wolves last week. It was a Sunday night game and 11 o'clock kickoff. Was it 12 o'clock for you? No, it would have been 10 o'clock for you, Rhino. No, 12.
No, it was midnight, 12. I think, over here, yeah.
I keep getting mucked up with daylight savings. You know, I'm quite daft when it comes to it. But, boys, thoughts on the Wolves game?
Oh, to be honest with you, before the game, given our record against Wolves, I would have taken a draw. And, you know, we haven't beaten Wolves for a while. And I just thought international break coming up, getting a point would have been nice, just so, you know, you're not stewing on a loss. But by the end, and the chances we had, especially very late on in the game, the amount of injury time, I was disappointed we didn't take all three, to be honest.
Yeah, I kind of concur with that. I was before the game, I was like, because I didn't see the lineup until obviously just an hour before, and I was watching Neil and Paddy, you know, because they do that sort of
that the team sheet tantrum.
Yeah, which is always good to get in about an hour before the game. And
I'm going to stop you there for one sec, Tess. I bloody love that concept. I really love that.
It's really, really good, and it's a really enjoyable listen as well. So big shouts out to the for the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. They work really hard, those boys, and and they give us some really good content before a Villa game as well. So yeah, I was listening to that, and prior to that, I was like, oh, we may not have Diaby and we may not have Kamara. This is going to be a bit of a challenge. Who's he going to play in there? Is he going to play Dandonka instead of Kamara? You know, I thought Bailey would get a game if that was going to be the case, but I was really pleasantly surprised that we played a strong team. So when I saw the lineup, I was like, well, you know, if we can take this opportunity, there's 3 points here, we're going to be going into this break in the top four of the Premier League, depending on what happened with the sort of Manchester City and Arsenal game. So watching the match, you know, it was okay. We played okay, and Wolves did play good as well. They grew into the game. And towards the end, as Rhino said, I really thought, oh my God, this is here for the taking. We could probably nab something. If we can get a 2-1 win, that would be amazing. But at the end of it, I felt like a draw was a fair result. They did have their opportunities to score, and it could have gone the other way. But I think a point's fair and a good result.
Can I get fired up tonight? Can I do a fired
Don't
up
do it.
Thursday? Go for it, Paul.
Fired up Thursday.
I've been stewing on this for days, boys. So bear with me for a diatribe, okay? Is that cool?
Yep.
Play at home, Wolves. And I'm sorry, we do have language rating on this one. Fuck their negative tactics. We're absolutely atrocious. They niggled, they pulled, they scratched, they sat behind the ball. Their counter-attacks were slow and awful. And I'm sorry, I think it was absolutely shit football, shit tactics from a shit club. And I did not enjoy one bit of what they're doing. And it reminded me so much of the way we went about it in the early 2000s and stuff like that, or mid-2000s. They were playing at home. And it's their big derby. You know, it's one of their big games. And the tactics, I don't want to hear shit about a coach coming out and playing one of the big teams and playing football like that. It was crap. And McGinn tried to fly the flag for us and probably got sucked in a fair bit. And I don't want to hear the negative Villa supporters about Torres. No one would have kept up with Neto when he was doing that run. And in fact, I thought Torres kept up with him really well. Some players would have gone on the ground, some would have gone over. And even the goal they scored ended up being deflected by one of our defenders knocking it into the path of Juan as well. So, no, we should have won it. And I was actually, in hindsight, I'm happy now because a good point. But we should have won that game and we would have been in third. And as simple as that, we would have been in third, well, sorry, in fourth because of goal difference. But we'd have been in the top four a fifth of the way through the season, guys. This is no fluke that we're up at this spot. This is a fifth of the way through the season. And we would have gone into the international break getting a couple sore players back. I just think Wolves' tactics were atrocious. They deserve to be down near the bottom half. They're only 4 points out of promotion. I'm sorry, Tess, I don't normally disagree with you. I thought their football was crap, and I don't like backing up stats too much. We're away, right? 54% of the possession, 18 shots to 8, 330 passes at 84%. They committed 19 fouls in 90-odd minutes. We had 10 corners to 2. I just think we should have won that game, and I think Wolves at home, that was pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, I agree. It was a hard watch, and like you say, Paul, Wolves just sort of they made it ugly, and we did get sucked into it. But you're right, though. It is a bit of a missed opportunity. Because you look at the results in and around that day. Everyone around us drew. We had Brighton, Liverpool, West Ham, and Newcastle played each other. So, you know, 3 points there would have just pushed us, you know, into a nice spot going into the international break. But I just want to go back to Torres as well. And I was really happy seeing him score and, you know, and his celebration as well, because he's copped a little bit of flack on social media for his pace, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, I just think he's a quality footballer. He's still adjusting to the league. And I've been really impressed with him. Yes, pace isn't his top attribute, but he brings a lot more to our team with his vision, his passing, not afraid to carry the ball forward. And yeah, just really pleased to see his celebration and his goal. And yeah, just made up for him.
It was fantastic for him to score a goal, especially as, you know, he would have probably felt like it was his responsibility to to try and stop Neto from actually getting the ball across and stuff like that.
And how good, Tess, was it that it happened so quickly? So
very quickly.
Yeah.
It's a couple of minutes afterwards. That's a testament to him not dropping his bundle. And I was just really proud of it. I agree.
I saw a bit of Villa in the Wolves at that moment, because remember when we used to score a goal? Everyone used to score back against us within one or two yep. minutes, didn't they?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that. And I was like, yes, we get one for a change. We get one straight back. Torres, during that game, for me, I felt like some of his passing was going a bit astray at times during the game. But in saying that, though, his vision, his positioning and his composure and his willingness to get in the box to get back in and score a goal was such a delight to watch. I loved the celebration right in front of the fans. I thought that was an amazing celebration, and good on him for getting his first goal at Villa, because it's not easy coming into playing in the Premier League, playing from Spain and stuff, where I think in Spain, you know, players get a little bit more time to be on the ball. And he's adjusting really, really well, considering, you know, he's had to just step right in, seeing as Tyron Mings was injured. But I thought he did a really, really, really good job coming back and getting that goal. And I hope the fans will give him a chance now to just really stamp his mark in the team, because he's going to be there for the season. There isn't anybody else that can take him out of the team unless he gets injured, you know? Like, he's doing really, really well.
Agreed. Hey, guys, what did you think about the shot by that came out about 3 or 4 metres out? A typical McGinn goal it would have been that he scores for Scotland. And their keeper just stood still like it was going out.
Yeah,
That was way closer than the commentators and way closer than their keeper thought. That was half a foot off going in.
Yeah, Jose Sa was very confident it was going wide. But, when you watch the replay, you're right. It's very, very close and beautiful strike. But again, I think we had so many good chances during the game, and it's kind of a pattern for us at the moment. We are missing a few chances and just a little bit wasteful for me. And, you know, we had the right of the death, Zaniolo had a chance, and then Watkins hits the foot of the post.
Oh,
and
I thought that was
just,
him.
100%.
I thought it was him. I thought it was bouncing in for a late winner, and I thought, this is our year, boys. This is something special. I couldn't believe when it hit the upright.
Late goals have been a specialty of ours lately, which is good to see. You know, a team that scores late goals and fights to the end is not something we've had for a long time. And to see us being able to do that now is pretty special. But yeah, I was just gutted. Zaniolo just needs that goal, doesn't he, as well? Just to break the duck and get the monkey off the back. And I think he'll be a real player.
Well, everyone's played 8 games. So Tottenham on top, which is awesome when you've got Ange as the manager. He's so likeable. He's such an amazingly likeable. And I obviously have, I have a lot invested into Ange. But they're on top. They've got a great manager. Arsenal continuing. A lot of people said they would drop off this year. They're continuing their run. City have dropped a couple games already this year. They've got a lot of injuries. We actually said that a week or two ago, that they're vulnerable this year. Liverpool had their chance. Brighton's had a couple disappointing results. Villa is in fifth. So we had that big chance, I thought, to be, equal third, basically. This season's there for the taking. Something strange is going to happen. I think it's going to be someone different's going to win it. It's going to be Arsenal, Tottenham. I mean, you know, people have already written Tottenham off.
Yeah.
It blows my mind that you can write the team who's on top off. Without any, do you know what a lot of the commentators are saying? Oh, this is typical of Tottenham, they'll drop off. So these are football experts saying this. What basis do they have that's going to happen? What history?
Well, in all honesty, when you listen to the pundits and stuff, they seem to be really invested in really the top three or top four of the Premier League. You know, the big sort of the Man Cities and even teams like Man United, who are diabolical this season, the commentators still seem to be focusing on those. I don't know if that's a good thing for us, because we can kind of go under the radar and people aren't actually seeing what we're doing. Just back to the Villa game, though. Emery got frustrated at one point when, I can't remember if it was McGinn or Dougie took a long-range shot, and he got really cross because
I think it was McGinn, Tess. I think it was McGinn, yeah.
Because the way that Emery wants us to play, and I'm going to totally 100% agree with him, it looked like we were being desperate at that point when McGinn took that shot.
Yeah.
And what Emery was saying is, no, be patient, be patient, be patient. And in the last 11 minutes of added time, you could see the patience was actually paying off. Because we were getting opportunity after opportunity, and Wolves were scared. Then they was kind of sitting back, and getting further and further. How many corners did we have in a row? They were getting really, really nervous. And the reason that came about is because we started to be patient again and try and pick our passes and keep the ball. And that's what we should have done from the beginning of the game. Because we let Wolves, and I think I mentioned it in our WhatsApp group, we're getting sucked into this man-for-man, tug-of-war, basketball game under the Gerrard era, where, you know, we're trying to compete man for man instead of just playing our game. And that was, I think that was to our detriment. We needed to play our game in order to get a result there. And in some places in that match, we didn't do that, to be honest, which was disappointing to see.
That's where, you know, if there was that desperation in the last couple of minutes, and I know that there was a... You can't say it was a good header by Watkins because it didn't score. So that header is where it would have been nice to have someone, one of the centre-backs, they just didn't have the confidence to go far enough forward, or Duran getting subbed on. We just lacked that slightly different edge at the end of the game.
It would have been nice to see Duran get a game, actually, because there was an opportunity where Watkins had the ball in the box, back to goal, and he kind of tried to turn, but... You know, I was thinking, if that was Duran, like, he's going to make that turn and snapshot. There's going to be a snapshot straight away, which could have been a goal. I mean, in hindsight, I'm saying that. But, you know, Duran has this little bit of an edge where, like, he's seems pretty good at taking snapshots, and he's got an eye for a goal. But I think there are other things that Duran doesn't do that Watkins does do as to why I don't think he didn't get on, did he, Duran? He didn't get
no,
on.
No, he didn't. Which was, but that was a bit of a surprise. I agree, Tess. I thought it was probably a good chance for Duran to get a run and probably come on late in the game, especially with the way Wolves are playing, the physicality of the game. I think he probably would have thrived in that sort of environment.
Yeah. He likes that type of game.
And the teams that I'm worried about below us is really, I still think Newcastle. I know they're concentrating on the Champions League. They're on 13 points. West Ham will be around about. I'm not too worried about them. Brighton is still going to play good football at certain points. Do you think, guys, question without notice, I think we're going to go for one or two signings come January.
Yes, I agree 100%. I think given... the right back situation, the amount of games we've got, the injuries at the start of the season, I definitely think we'll be looking to strengthen in January. I think right back's probably one spot they might go for, just to free up or to give Matt Cash a bit of a break and bring someone in who's a bit more of a specialist right back who can go forward. But yeah, a couple of players definitely.
Maybe two. I mean, I still think, perhaps... I like that Cash is actually playing a bit further forward, and he's showing he's got some ability up there. I mean, he should have scored. Hey, I mean,
he should have scored.
But he's been doing really, really well. I do think that a right back to sort of, you know, because Konsa's doing a good job at the moment as well, and he's kind of playing that centre back, sort of right back, and Cash is playing a little bit further forward. And then when we're defending, he's kind of dropping back into that space. But we do need a little bit more. If we're going to compete and be a contender, as I love when he says that, we're going to be a contender for getting a bit higher in the league at the end of the season. I think we need a bit of strengthening there, because I don't think we quite have it on the bench at the moment. And also somewhere in the midfield, I know we've got Tielemans. I'm just at the moment, and because he's not getting games, I'm just not convinced that Tielemans is that extra strength we need. And maybe I'm misreading it, but because at the moment he's not getting the minutes, to be honest. And when he does get the minutes, I'm not really seeing anything that's making much of a difference. So that's not a slight on him. I just think, he hasn't had minutes, and we could probably do with somebody like a kind of Dougie player who's good at controlling and taken ownership of the midfield, if you like, if I'm making sense at all.
Yeah, you know, with Buendia out with the cruciate ligament, I think another midfield is an absolute must. I think we do need to strengthen down back. I know we've got Marino coming back in a couple of different weeks.
Yeah.
More breaks come good for him. And a lot of people will cry out for a striker. I just think we're going to strengthen the positions we need. A striker is going to be hard to come by in January. So, boys, we put up a question. It was only put up only a few hours ago. We are fifth after eight games, 4 points from the top. Where will we finish at the top of the season? So, win the league, top four, champion league, baby. Fifth to eighth or ninth or lower. And 77% so far, and that's probably 40-odd votes, have gone for fifth to eighth. So a lot of people are going realism. Boys, where will we end up at the end of the year? No explanations, just where we're going to finish.
He doesn't want to sound the alarm for me, that's all.
That's right. We haven't heard it for a few weeks, Tess.
I'm going to go, I think it's going to be extremely tough this season. While we're still, I still think we're in the mode of building a team, and I think there are positions that need to be improved if we're going to start competing with those who are likely to finish in the top four. So anywhere between fifth and eighth, I'm comfortable, and I would be comfortable with that. I would be comfortable with it because it still shows progress over a couple of seasons. Remember how we used to rave about Martin O'Neill when we were finishing top six for three seasons in a row, and we actually never actually got to get that step further.
Yeah,
and I don't know whether that was down to Martin O'Neill, but it might have been down to the kind of investment that we were putting into the club. So yeah, 58 was good. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I lost the pot there. Over to you, Rhino.
Yeah, same for me. Fifth to eighth, I think, you know, I'd be happy showing a bit of consistency. If we can finish in that area two seasons in a row, that's massive progress from where we have been. I still agree with you, Paul. I think looking at that table, I still see Newcastle probably pushing on. I think you'll see the likes of... I actually think Chelsea and Man United will pick up points. I don't know if they'll... They won't get Champions League, obviously, but I still think there'll be a bit of form from them at some point. So it's going to get really competitive. But, you know, we're showing as much as anyone at the moment with our form. And I'm really happy given, you know, we're trying to blood some new players in that squad and settle people in. And obviously the start was pretty disrupted with a few big injuries. I'm really pleased with where we're at. And if we can finish fifth to eighth, I'll take that.
We're getting a Champions League spot, boys. I said it a few weeks ago. This is a kind of weird season that everyone around the top six to eight are going to take points off each other, right? So we've got Tottenham up top on 20, Arsenal on 20, City on 18, Liverpool 17, Villa 16, Brighton 16. Everyone's competitive. So City's not going to run away with this. They could win it, no doubt. They can still win it. But everyone's going to compete. This is the year. I don't want to hear about it's a year too early or 2 years too early, because in my other sport that I love, one of my many sports I love, in the AFL in 2017, Richmond won a grand final that people didn't think we would. You've just got to take your chances when they come.
Yep.
The year is now. There's no way that Emery and that are thinking, let's try and get a Champions League. I almost feel the way we're choosing our cup squads and our European spots, that they've kind of maybe refocused their energies and going, hey, this is a year we can sneak into the Champions League. This is worth an absolute fortune. That I really feel that they've refocused.
I think it's a long shot. And not to say that it's a season too early. I think it's just the depth that we currently have at the moment, I don't think quite matches some of those that are, you know, normally finishing within those top positions. So, I'm going to stick to the fifth to eighth kind of area on this one.
Okay, let's have a look. Let's look at some. We'll do Twitter questions first.
Also, sorry, bit of a rant. That referee, I know Kamara did a pullback and it's a yellow card, But there were a bunch of those happening against us, and no yellow cards were being issued to the Wolves players. How many fouls did you say they committed? About 19 or something like that?
Yep.
And then what about the pullback on Watkins in the box?
That, no, no, no. That wasn't was a pullback.
There's a push, yeah.
Push, push, sorry.
That's yeah.
That was 100% ever played the game.
Anyone's ever played the game. You get a touch when you're trying to have a shot on goal. That was a how that was not a penalty. I couldn't quite believe when they said the 7 o'clock. I went, oh my god, we're going to get a pen.
That had to be a penalty.
Yeah.
How are people not talking about this?
That yeah, 100%. It's a penalty. Just pushing him as he's taking a shot, and then the way that he's sort of obviously fallen after it, it's a penalty every day of the week for me.
Was that, did anyone have a pullback as well or something in the box, and he didn't go down?
Yeah.
Yeah, not on. I didn't think it was on Watkins.
No, I think it was on Zaniolo. I think somebody was pulling his shirt in, and he didn't go down. And I was like, "Why didn't you go down?" Because that was. I mean, I'm not being funny enough. He was giving his shirt back to our own goal, and I was like,
"He goes down. That's a penalty as well." I agree with you. No, the more you think about it, boys, the more you think we were shafted in that game. That should have been a Villa win.
That referee was diabolical. I don't know where he came from, but should be relegated to like Sunday League football or something. Well, it was unbelievable.
No, that's an insult to Sunday League football. The guy had his head on TV more than a dude in a porno, I reckon.
Sorry, I just had to have that rant because I don't think people were speaking about it. That really irked me a lot.
He was an absolute Muppet, and I love the Muppet Show, and he was an absolute
Muppet. But he always does.
I already smells his arms and he's like, oh yeah.
I noticed how his head didn't move and he wasn't sweating or anything.
Nah, there's something not natural about that man. So, Yawny McYawnface. Love you, Yawny.
Hello, Yawny.
This is very much in line with what we've just said, guys. So, we're fifth in the Premier League. We're on the same points as everyone in the champion in our table. We absolutely battered Brighton. Everything is good. But is it just me? Or does anyone else think we are misfiring compared to last year? It is just you, Yawny, because we're on a few different fronts. And if we compare this time last year, wasn't that when we got rid of Gerrard?
Yeah.
So next couple of months.
The only thing I can sort of agree with Yawny there is, for me, I guess we've already touched on is the injuries. Like, we lost Mings, who's a massive leader in our group, and they're bringing some new players in. It does feel like a little bit of, not start again, but a little bit disjointed. But that's only because we've seen players come from different leagues trying to settle in. So I kind of understand that point. But yeah, like I said, really happy with where we're at the moment, especially when you lose the first game, you get battered in the first game. So yeah, it feels a little bit disjointed. But as this season goes on with the amount of games we've got to play, I think we're just going to get better and better.
Sorry, Paul, go.
I was going to say, mate, just one bit. He does put hashtag greedy in there. So he is aware that
I love you on a little face. When he says we're misfiring, and I don't know whether I'm on the same page as him at the moment, but, you know, we're missing people who carry the ball really. We're missing Ramsey. And, you know, when Ramsey came back for that one game, you could see what we were missing in terms of what he can do, in terms of bringing the ball forward, bringing other people into the game. And obviously, he gets a goal. He can get a goal or two. We know he can do that. And, yeah, on that front, also, you know, we've got Luca Dean, who's in my opinion, has been really good this season so far. He's still getting the balls into the areas where our striker should be scoring goals. You know, he hasn't really had an assist lately in the Premier League, but we were missing also Moreno, who's that little bit different as well, whose quality going forward.
He's crucial, isn't he? Even last season, he was crucial for the way we were trying to play, and to not have him for the start of the season has probably disrupted us a bit. But I agree with you, Tess. Luca Dean's been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, he's slotted in, and that place is his now, isn't it, for Mourinho to come back and fight for it.
Yeah, and that's what I think, that's what Emery wanted to see from Luca Dean, and he's doing it. He's doing it every week. You know, we know he's not the quickest in defence and stuff. And I think the ball came off kind of bumped off him or something when they scored or something like that. But in general, I think he's been a really, really good player this season and quite consistent. I know a lot of people are on his back, but Moreno is also good on his way back, and we need that.
Yep.
Also, I felt like I know Zaniolo's coming in, so he's been playing in Galatasaray. I don't think he's quite match fit for the pace of the Premier League at the moment. He's having a go, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's really having a go. And I'm just waiting for that. I think he gets a goal, that confidence just oozes. Because some of the stuff that he does with the ball, in terms of using his body, because he's a big lad, isn't he? He looks like a big lad and strong lad. He gets the ball to his feet. He tries to take people on. He brings other people in a little bit. He's still learning to get to know all the players. He doesn't quite have the tenacity that we're missing in Buendia, when Buendia's up there, because Buendia has this, I don't know, sometimes when he's just on his game, he's just a delight to watch. He brings people into the game. He has that tenacity. He chases back, and that high press that we do, we're missing little bits of that, but I'm sure Zaniolo will come in and start doing all that kind of stuff. So I am
so close to bursting it open, I reckon. He's
had So in that term, and what Rhino said, back to being a little bit disjointed, some of these players are still, it's only, what, 8 games in. They've got to learn to play with all these other players, you know, and it takes time. But for what they're currently doing at the moment, with that, without having all that experience with all their teammates, I think they're doing a really bloody good job.
Simon Munford, 86. Simo asks, I know it's a bit early, but your expectations for the busy December period and how you and I will manage his squad rotation, especially with the second squad, we're not getting heaps of time on the pitch. Over to you, boys.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the fixtures now, and December's always hectic, isn't it, in the Premier League? And the rotations haven't served us well so far, have they? And some of the players who've been coming in, haven't been playing a lot of minutes, haven't really hit the ground running. And you can understand that in some ways, but it doesn't fill me with confidence that the squad is as strong as probably what I thought. But yeah, some big games coming up over the December period.
Guys, can I just bring a bit of focus in? We're not even up till the end of October yet. I find by December, who knows what the hell's going to go on.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it is going to be who's fit, who's not, because injuries and how we, and like Tess just touched on, who we get back is going to be big for us into that period. And so December starts off with Legia Warsaw at home, 1st of December, Bournemouth away on the 3rd. Then we've got two big games at home. So we got Man City and Arsenal. That's the 6th and the 10th. And then we roll into Zrinjski, Brentford away, Sheffield United home, Man United away. And then to round out December, that's Burnley at home on the 31st. So some really big games in there, which is exciting.
Well, just from the 1st of December to the 24th, which is, let's go 1st of December to the 15th even, which is, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in 2 weeks.
It's massive, isn't it?
Go 2 more days, it's 6 games in 16 days.
And it is pivotal December for the Premier League, isn't it? Because you've got that amount of games in, you know, as close as they are, that, you know, you can really make a dent in positions in the league. So, yes, it's massive.
It's really, yeah.
I mean, got to be honest, boys, pretty exciting for us as supporters.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm loving seeing us play so many more games this season. I think it's brilliant, to be honest. A little bit concerned about the team that we played from Bosnia. I was a little bit concerned about how we looked in that game, to be honest. With all the rotation. Because I kind of felt like in that game, we should have been playing with a strong team to start, you know, grab a goal or two and then make the changes and bring other people into the game for them to get minutes. That's what I would have liked to have seen. But, you know.
In the last podcast, that should have happened. I think it's going to be exactly what you guys said. He's just going to rotate the way he wants to rotate. I think he's going to go the same thing. I think he's going to play weaker teams in Europe and our stronger teams in the Prem. I don't think he's going to change our tactic at all.
I think he wants to play players that he thinks can get a result when we're playing in Europe. so that when we get to the group stages, obviously that's going to be tougher. And so, yeah, more of a full strength team will be played for those ones if we can get out of the group stages. But I think, yeah, he's trying to manage the group stages by giving people minutes who he thinks can come in and do a job to make sure that we qualify out of that group, you know?
I still think they really, not saying it, I think they think top four or five spots on starts. I mean, at our best, not too many teams this year are playing better than us. Tottenham, everyone's saying how great Tottenham are. I just want to put Brighton and Villa have scored the most goals in the competition, in the Prem. Brighton, yeah. And Villa with 19. I just want to, you know, I know we've conceded a few more goals, but we've scored 19. And
yeah.
A real top-notch striking, you know, partnership.
I was trying to say, put it into perspective. The other day I was listening to, because a lot of the pundits are just always seem to be talking about how great Brighton are. But the other day I was listening to De Zerbi in his press conference, and he was complaining about the amount of games and not being ready for European football and all this stuff. But you're not hearing any excuses from Emery about the squad and all these sorts of things and where that we have to play and rotate the squad. And you're already hearing that stuff from De Zerbi, which is, I'm not being funny, but I feel like he's just making excuses for some poor form that they've got at the moment, especially after they got spanked 6-1 by Aston Villa. Just saying.
I'm with exact mind, and he would be absolutely stoked. I imagine he would.
You're breaking up a little bit there.
Sorry, Paul, can you hear you there, mate? Oh,
sorry, guys. Can you hear me a bit better now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think this is the absolute challenge that Emery wants. I don't think he's happy with the way we're playing, but I think he's excited to be, you know, we're in the group stages now. It's all back on level points. And I honestly think he'd be gutted that we're not in the top four or five right now after that, after the weekend. He's tracking very nicely as a manager for us.
Yeah, he's doing really well. Unreal.
He'd be thinking what we're thinking. He'd be thinking that as a missed opportunity to get those 3 points.
Yeah.
Look, a really good question again. We really appreciate that one, Simo. Over to you, Rhino, for some Facebook questions.
Yeah, right. I've got a few on this to get through, fellas. We'll try and keep it reasonably short and sharp. So some top contributors here, but we'll go to... So the first one is from Jonathan Northall. Well, I just want to give a shout out who designed our latest artwork for our socials, and it looks fantastic.
Brilliant, mate. Fantastic, that is.
Yeah, it looks so good, and we're just really happy with the with the artwork he's done. But his question is, based on my post the other day, Villa have been more clinical in front of goal as far in the league in the league, at least. Interesting your thoughts on that. And that sort of just touches on, so Jonathan has just shown our XG, and like Paul was just touched on as well, that we, you know, we're scoring a lot of goals. We've obviously conceded a few, but we seem to be quite potent in front of goals this year. What's your sort of thoughts on it, fellas? How are you seeing it?
I think the chances that we are taking, I think you guys already summed it up earlier tonight, the chances we are taking are from better positions. And then that's probably an example of what, I'm not sure if it was you or Tess who said about McGinn's shot when, I think it was you, Tess, about Emery being upset. Emery doesn't really want us shooting from range. He wants us getting into positions that we put the continued pressure on, and then the nice passes with the simpler set-up goal. And I think it's like anything. If you're in close in basketball and you take the easier shots, you're going to make more than out at the 3-point line, right?
Mm.
I think it's. I agree with Paul. I just, because Emery wants to see those team goals. He doesn't want to just see people shooting from anywhere and just having a go, because that takes away an opportunity to push another team's defense right back and give us the opportunity to find space and get a goal within the box, that kind of stuff. I think we're a team that's creating a lot of chances.
Yep.
And that's why we're scoring goals, and we're also having people stepping up in terms of the assists, like McGinn and Dougie Louise. You know, even Watkins, his cross from Pau Torres' goal was fantastic. And I was delighted to see him do that, because I'd like to see him, if he's not in a position to score goals, to help his teammates score. We're doing great for chances. We need to take more of them, if I'm being honest, and see teams off a bit easier. But again, you know, this is, we have to respect sometimes that other teams are going to be good defensively.
Yeah, spot on. I think the stats are pointing to what you're saying there is, you know, we're making a lot of chances. Agree, we could be a bit more clinical. But I think with some of the players coming in that we touched on, Ramsey, Marino, I think that's really going to help us as well, convert more chances, because the quality they bring, I think we'll see a bit of a difference there. So, yeah, brilliant question from Jonathan, though. Next one's from Josh Donaghy, who's a regular contributor. And he's saying, keen to hear on the current paper talk about Tielemans. So I think what Josh is getting at is, what, you know, a bit of the noise about Tielemans coming in and really, you know, hasn't really hit any form. And what's your guys' sort of thoughts on that at the moment?
So what's he saying? Just what's happening in the papers? Before, so
get into it. No, I was going to say, yeah, you get into it, Matt.
Yeah, oh, so yeah. I think Josh is saying, keen to hear on the current paper talk about Tielemans. I'm assuming that means that there's a bit of criticism out there for the way he's playing and his form when he has come into the team.
Yeah. Oh, well, is he complaining, though, in the papers? Is that what's happening because he's not getting the minutes?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's from Tielemans or from the press saying that he's playing bad. But what's your, give us your rundown on Tielemans, fellas. What have you seen so far? What's your opinions on him?
I agree that he's not getting the minutes at the moment. And I think I mentioned that just a little bit earlier on today. And when he is getting the opportunity to come in and play, I haven't seen him up to speed yet. You know, I haven't seen him up to speed where he can dislodge anybody that's currently starting in the match. So you're talking about your McGinns, you're talking about your Dougie Louises, you're talking about your Kamaras. I'm not seeing anywhere where he's playing that well when he's given an opportunity to actually say, I should be starting ahead of these guys. Mm. You know?
Yep.
I think, though, in order to get in form, you need to have minutes. And he hasn't been getting those minutes, but it's difficult to give him minutes when, you know, you've got players that you relied on last season who got you into Europe in the midfield, who are consistently, and this is something which is, we haven't had for a long time, consistency in the way that they're playing. So it's difficult for him. When he has played, I thought he hasn't been good enough to dislodge any of them. I think did he start against the Bosnian team?
Yep.
And I didn't know what he was doing. I couldn't see how he was affecting the game in any way. And then that told why when we brought on, you know, the big guns in the second half and stuff. So I think he needs to be patient. I mean, he'll get his opportunity. Maybe in some cup games, he'll still get minutes towards the end of games. But at the moment, he needs to step himself up and find that form to say, I need to be starting it week in, week out.
Well, I said to you guys, I was a big fan of his from the start. And in September, there was a number of stories to say that he was unhappy. He'd already approached Emery. And there's been stories in recent days, and I've read through them. And I can tell you now, I don't believe they're true. I believe he was upset in September when he thought he was going to be a first team, every team. And in the last couple of days, the stories I've read, there's no quotes from him. It's all, you know, he's spoken to Emery, he's unhappy. But you know, when that first started was September the 8th.
Mm.
So in the last 24 hours, there's been stories. I reckon they are absolute rehashes of what happened over a month ago, where they've said he's unhappy with Emery and he approached the manager. I reckon any player who's not getting games is going to go to the manager and say, look, I want to play more. And Emery's probably said, well, this is what I want from you. And so I reckon the stories in the last 24 hours are not bashing you, Josh, at all. It's nothing to do with you. I reckon they're absolute bullshit rehashes in an international week.
Yeah. I've literally just had a quick Google, so I haven't really been on socials too much. So I'm just reading it in. Yeah, like you're saying, Paul, there's rumours that he obviously wants out and whatnot, but obviously no quotes, you know, with it. But yeah, for me, I did expect more from Tielemans coming in, and I think he has found it difficult to settle into the way Emery wants to play in the formation. and that the role is probably being required of him is probably slightly different to where when he was at Leicester, where he probably had a bit more of a free role and a bit more freedom. Whereas I think Emery obviously wants the two in the middle to be very disciplined and ball playing. And I just think, yeah, it'll take him time to adjust to that. But yeah, brilliant question again from Josh. And
I just want to say, pull your penis out, Tillemans, and be a man, right? Because no, seriously, look at Madison. Look at Madison at the moment. For Tottenham, is playing super football, right? Tillemans, come in. You had your chance in Europe. Blitz it. Make it no doubt in Emery's mind that you should be starting, and then I'll support you, mate. But if you are actually whinging about this, just do it on the field, mate.
Yeah.
I think it told stories, though, didn't it? When Ramsey was fit enough to play, Ramsey was played, came on and scored a goal and offered something different. You know, and he does that stuff in training all the time. And I think Emery really likes him. And he's going to start above in front of Tielemans every day at the moment. And unless Tielemans can do something to say, it should be me.
Well, you guys said it early on in the season when I was saying, I can't wait to see Tielemans playing. So if anyone thinks I'm bashing him, I was the one saying, I think he's going to be amazing for us. And you guys did pull me up on that. But it's only 8 games in. I hope the stories are bullshit, but I don't think they are. Where there's smoke, there's fire. If he's having a whinge, do it on the effing field, mate. I can't stand when an NFL player or an AFL player or any sport has a whinge about not getting game time. If you're good enough and playing well enough, you'll be on the frigging pitch.
He's going to get game time, and when he gets game time, he's just going to play himself into form. He's got to stamp his mark when he gets the opportunity. And so far, when he has been given the opportunity, he hasn't really delivered. And maybe that's another thing to do with gelling with the team, new teammates, and all this kind of stuff. But what he's also got to remember, and I'm not saying that he said all this, what I'm saying is that he's up against a bunch of players who performed extremely well last season, who managed to get the club into Europe while he was playing for a team who got relegated. Yep. Now, there's, as you said, Paul, Madison's gone to Spurs, playing out of his skin, playing really good because he's a good quality player, as I think Tielemans is. But then you've got also players like Harvey Barnes, who went to Newcastle and playing really well at Newcastle until he gets his injury and all these sorts of things. And so he hasn't really got the right to say, well, I came and signed for Villa because I want to play, so I should start. He's got to earn the right. And at the moment, he's not earned that right.
Yep. Agree. Right. Here comes a question from our very own Spud, who's thrown in a nice one, actually.
Oh, I can't wait to answer this one.
Yeah, this is a really good question, actually. And we will put this one out on our socials tomorrow for the listeners to answer as well, because I think it's a really interesting question. So Spud's asked, being International Week, I want to ask the three of you and answer honestly, if you had the option as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to happen, would you choose for Villa to win the Champions League once or see your nation win the World Cup once? Rhino Wales, Tess England, and Paul Australia. Bearing in mind, you're actually in the stadium, in the stands, to celebrate the winning final.
I'm going to go last, boys.
Oh.
I'll take this one first. And Spud sent this one to our WhatsApp group, so I've been mulling this over for a few hours. And for me, it's a brilliant question. This is why I want to get it out on our socials to see what the listeners think. But for me, I'm going to have to go with Wales winning the World Cup, because for a small nation like Wales of 3 million people, I know that's never going to happen in my lifetime. And I think Villa, you know, I know Champions League's a long way off, but I just think Wales winning the World Cup would just be, out of this world. And Wales would probably have to shut down for a few months with the celebrations, and I don't think it would ever really recover, to be honest. But Wales for me for the World Cup.
Like it. Over to you, Tess.
Well, first of all, F Southgate, because Costa should be in the England squad, just saying. Right.
I'm glad that when he gets a bit of a rest,
Jacob Ramsey, when he's fit, should be in that England squad. But the reality for me is, like, Champions League final, Aston Villa, Champions League final, winning that final. Are you kidding me? And you can be there. Oh my gosh. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I don't watch England as much as I used to anymore. And I know they're a good side and all this kind of stuff. But it would actually mean more to me to be in the stadium in a Champions League final to see Aston Villa win a Champions League final. It would mean so much to me, so much more than watching England win a World Cup, because of the history that we have in Europe and what we've done in the past. You know, I hear people talk about it all the time, but I would like to be there. I would want to see that, that something would live in my memory forever and ever. For England, I feel like it's a country that's on the up in terms of world football, and I think they have potential to win a World Cup or at least compete in a final on more than one occasion, maybe in my lifetime from now. So, you know, in the next, say, let's say in the next 20 years or so, I think they'll have a couple of opportunities where they will have squads good enough to compete for a World Cup. But in this moment, Champions League final, Aston Villa, are you kidding me?
Like, love it, Tess.
It would just be, yeah, I wouldn't stop talking about it. Like, it would, it's a tough ask, and that's what will make it so much more better.
Paul, over to you.
Villa every day of the week, every second of the day, every millisecond of the day. For this, a couple of different reasons, if I can. One is Villa is my heart. I consider myself a person of the world as opposed to an Australian. You won't see me. I'll go to Australian games and I'll wear my tops, and I've, you know, travelled and seen them everywhere. But Villa is my heart. And I just don't want to hear so many people going, yeah, mate, I was always a soccer fan. When Australia does well in the World Cup. So, oh, mate, I love that stuff. You know, if they just didn't dive so much, it'd be a great game. the everyday Aussie doesn't deserve Australia to win a World Cup. Being a villain in Australia is such an amazingly special thing, because everyone followed the Arsenals and Man U's and the Liverpools and the Leeds, because there's so many Aussies there. And the people who chose Villa, don't know if we chose Villa or Villa chose us, but to win a Champions League final, you know that anyone around you or anyone in the world who says they follow Villa, they follow Villa. And I've got goosebumps now. My hair's raised on my arms because, the tears would be, I don't think the tears would stop. You know, would I love to see Australia win a World Cup? Yeah, of course. I'm not, but it doesn't mean the same to me that it does my club. That's my heart.
Mm. I would even it's a great question from Spud. I miss Spud. I can't wait to be on the pod with him again. But, you know, even just a European trophy, which is a possibility this season, just saying, like, that would be that. I know it's Conference League, but you're in that competition, so you should go to win it. And even if you can make that step to win something like the Conference League, that would be out of this world. To put Villa back on the map in terms of playing well in Europe, and then that would help us to move on to bigger and better things as well, and be able to attract the type of players that you need to compete and be a contender, because I love that word that Emery uses, every season in European trophies. And it's not going to be an impossible task to ever do it. It's just how we develop from now while we're rebuilding, and the investment that we get and the success that we have. It's a possibility that in our lifetime we could actually be contenders in Champions League. So, yeah, it would just bloody be one of the best things in the world.
Brilliant question, though, and definitely one that I want to, you know, because we've got listeners from, you know, all over the place. So it'd be good to, we'll get that one on the socials tomorrow and see where everyone's opinions are.
We're getting it out right now, man. We're getting it out. I've put up here, would you prefer your country win a World Cup or Villa win the Champions League? And you are there.
Yeah.
I tried to keep it pretty simple.
Nice.
We have one more question, fellas, and it's from Smithy, Mark Smith, who's a top contributor to the pod and the group.
Top
bloke. And you fellas have obviously had the pleasure of having a beer with Smithy and his lovely his partner. And this is your time to shine, Tessie. So he's asking for an update on the Fantasy Football League. And if you could probably just leave my team out of there, Tess, I'd be forever grateful.
Well, I think the rules have been that we've been doing the top 10, so you have no chance of bringing your team into it.
And you've just sneaked into the top 10, Tessie. Lovely.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what. So a nice little bit of a green arrow for me, considering the other week, I was away camping and I totally forgot to do any changes and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like I didn't do any changes and stuff. And I was whinging to Spud on WhatsApp and stuff. I don't think you did your team as well, Rhino, that week.
I did. I forgot mine as well.
And so it's because I was away camping. So, like, you know, we put the kids to bed and stuff. And then we're sitting out by the fire and stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's like, the deadline. So I'm actually really happy with being in 10th place because I did forget the other week to do it. So, green arrow for me. In 10th place, the Aston Villains. That's me, Cuban Knight, in 10th place. In number nine, we've got the Sultans of Unai, who is Guy Dunstan, doing a really good job there, 463 points. We've got Team Superstar FC in eighth place. That's Toby Hook. Well done, good on you, Toby. 60 points this week. That's, I think he's beat everyone that's in the top 10 with that amount of points. So he's just jumped in there. So he's on 465. Paddy Kelly, the shiny shites. Paddy Kelly from obviously the For Love Paul McGrath podcast, he's up there in seventh place. We've got intact sub Sean Gallagher sitting in sixth. We've got the is this the Balotelli tubbies? The Balotelli tubbies, that's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah,
Ian Doherty, he's sitting there in fifth place. Our good friend Troy Asquith sitting is K Magic? Is it as in Kamara Magic, maybe?
Yeah.
He's sitting there in fourth place. He got 55 points this week. We've got Wes Torres. Like that. That's a good one. Jason Williams, he's in third place with 488 points. And in first place, we have Adrian Attard sitting on 515 points. I didn't miss anyone out there, did I?
I don't think so, but I think we can quickly move on.
Let me just double check, though. you might have missed the Chamber of Horrors there. Mark Smith sitting there in second place nicely on 505 points. Hey, guys, just want to mention, like, this is really fun for me. Like, when I can get on the pod and talk about it, we did create this Aussie Villains league, mini league, just for us to have a little bit of fun in it, and provide it's okay with all of us, then we'll mention every week if we can if there's any updates and how we're all looking in the table. Just remember it's a long game, I hope to be back, and hopefully we'll start seeing Spud coming back in and also Rhino coming into it now.
Yeah, Paul, and I just want to shout out as well, fellas, Mr. Ian Taylor is in the league there in 20th place. Tails tackle.
What? 0.3, yeah, Ian Taylor's in there.
Ian Taylor is in the group, fellas, and he's having a red hot crack.
He is. He's doing all right.
Yeah. Guys, just an update on would you prefer your country win a World Cup or Villa win the Champions League? Just got 9 votes in the last couple of minutes, and they're all for Villa to win the Champions League.
There you go.
I just want to give a shout out to, obviously, because our co-host, and I'm pretty sure he wouldn't want me to mention it, but I will anyway. In Unai We Trust, Mark Holmes, sitting with a green arrow, but in 23rd place. Oh, gosh. Sometimes I get dizzy looking down at this league. And then I think in 26th place with a... Oh, that's a massive red arrow sitting there.
Oh, that's a big one. It's weighing me down, Tess.
sitting in 26th place, Ryan Watkins.
Ew. Someone's got to prop the table up, fellas.
But look, you, Rhino, this is your very first season playing it. We've got 31 people in the mini league. The details are on socials. I don't know them off by heart now if you want to join in, but please, if you decide that you want to just take part for a bit of fun, we will have a little prize at the end of the season for those who are in the top places. So top
so
three.
We know what the prize. Do we know what the prize is yet?
No, we don't.
Okay. Well, one of the prizes will be one of the top three prizes will be a Tyrone Mings or autographed card. So I'll be donating that to the prizes. So we'll
see. Beautiful. Thanks, Paul.
I do have a couple of things up my sleeve, but before I mention them, I'll make sure that we've got them in hand before I start actually saying but talking about them. But yeah, guys, look, really fun and adds a nice little element to our podcast.
Well, we can get everyone on the Australian Fans of Villa Facebook and Facebook group. And on Twitter, we can get people on, or people can join us at Aussie Villains, capital A, capital V. Tess, how do we get you?
At Cuban_Knight on X, and the same for Facebook.
And for yourself there, Rhino?
Rhino_Watkins on Twitter. And then you'll see me in the Aussie Villains group, just Ryan Watkins.
Yeah, Paul_football. Still can't believe I got that moniker. Pretty happy with it. On Facebook, yeah, I'm in those groups as well. Otherwise, don't ever friend request me because all you'll get is photos of cards or the beach. Guys, just an update before we go. We're up to 18 votes, all for Villa to win the Champions League so far. A couple of comments. We've got Bosnich's Dealer, 1 star, 1982. Villa, no doubt. Good name, that. 1 star, 1982. I hope that changes for you over the years. And Chris Jennings, Chris Louise, or Chris Lewis J, Villa Champions League and not even remotely close. So that seems to be where it's going at the moment.
Could be interesting.
Yes. Well, look, as more teams come into the World Cup as well, what's it up to next World Cup? 48 teams?
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. I don't actually know. And to be honest, I haven't really been following international football that much, or England, as an England supporter. There's just things that are within that England squad at the moment. I don't know that. It reminds me of back in the day for England when you used to have all those managers who were just picking players because of what their names were and all this kind of stuff, which reflects why England were never successful. Gareth Southgate didn't start doing a good job in terms of picking people based on form and giving people opportunities. But at the moment, he seems to have gone into a bit of slump because there are a lot of players out there, not just for Aston Villa, but for other clubs who are performing really well and they don't seem to be getting a look in, and players who are not playing for their clubs are getting selected, and players who are a bad form for their clubs are being selected. And I know that he trusts them. But I think fair is fair. If you're playing good consistently, you should get an opportunity, and that's not what's happening for England. So it's kind of put me off watching a bit.
I'm going to give you a bit of a shout out to the Socceroos. Their coach Graham Arnold was oft maligned as a coach, and this week he brought in people like former coaches, and Ange Postecoglou being one of them. That's pretty rare that a former national brought into the fold. I just thought that was really awesome.
Yep.
So Graham Arnold, kudos to you. Guys, before we go as well, something close to my heart at the moment, Craig Shakespeare, a former assistant at our club and a manager at Leicester, amongst others, he's been recently diagnosed with cancer as well. So thoughts to your family and friends there, Craig. A lot of people at Villa Park love you. So
100%. Yep.
Shout out to Craig as well.
Yeah. And that player that got injured the other day, Chris Basham as well, that was a nasty, horrible looking injury. And, you know, sort of one of those sort of could be a career wrecking injury. So wish him the best and hopefully he can come back at some stage and play football again.
Guys, we love the questions. They're the biggest part. They're my favourite part of the pod besides speaking to the other boys. So keep those coming. Answer any questions we put out there. We love that as well. This is the Aussie Villains podcast. And as always, up the Villa.
Up the Villa. Up.
Thanks for joining us for another Aussie Villains podcast. You can get us at Australian Fans of Villa on Facebook. Get us at Aussie Villains on Twitter. You can post your group questions up there, any questions you like. You can also answer our polls. Get involved in the community. This is for Australian Villa fans or any fans all over the world. This is the Aussie Villains podcast. And up the Villa.